and welcome. It's our number two of our radio program. And this hour, it's Tebow Mania. Urban Meyer putting on his tap dance shoes, asked about Tim Tebow's chances in Jacksonville. We parse the words of Urban Meyer and examine the Maller Show odds that Tim Tebow gets offered at least an offseason contract to prove himself as a tight end in Jacksonville. We get to that and more here in hour number two. It is a Tebow-tastic kind of a day. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we babble coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness. The Fox Sports Radio Studios, good to have you along for the journey into the wee hours of the morning. And our lead this particular hour, coming from the Friendship Department of Sports, we're going to retrace our steps to an old reliable friend of the show, Tim Tebow. There were a couple of years, about a decade plus ago, that Tim Tebow drove the bus in these parts, not anymore. Right now, Tebow's a washed-up, failed baseball player, failed quarterback in the pro game, and he is attempting a comeback, a much-publicized comeback, as a tight end. We talked about this in a previous episode of the show. Are you up to speed on the latest? Perhaps not. There have been some new developments here, and that's why we are talking about Tebow yet again. Urban Meyer doing a round of post-draft interviews, and he has given a State of the Tebow address. Not to be confused with Joe Biden's State of the Union. This is the State of Tebow address by Urban Meyer, the Jacksonville coach making the rounds. And Meyer, we'll play the clip here. Meyer says that no decision on Tim Tebow, whether he makes the roster, gets a tryout, an official invitation to join the team in the offseason, has been made. As Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
You know, years ago, they would always talk about why didn't he play tight end and why didn't he do this, why didn't he do that? And Tim, you know, he has never played tight end. That's going to be a tough go. And he did. He tried out with our tight end coach. And I on purpose removed myself from that because I have very strong opinions about the competitive nature and how tough he is. But I also have made a commitment to our owner and the people of Jacksonville. The only decisions I'm going to make is if it can help us win a game. That's it. There is nothing else involved. And that decision has not been made yet.
All right, so this audio coming from CBS Sports Network, the cable channel there. That's why you heard a little music underneath it. So in a separate interview, we played the clip for you there. In a separate interview, Urban Meyer repeated the company line that Tim Tebow will get a chance if he can help the Jags win games. So our job here, my job and your job, I'm going to go first, is to parse the words of the rookie NFL head coach. He's a rookie. So let us discuss. What are the odds that Tim Tebow lands an offseason contract from Jacksonville? Now, I am going to set the updated number in the unofficial Maller Sports book. I'm going to set the odds at -550. -550. Now, if you're not a gambler and you're bad at math or both, That implies an 85% chance. That's how confident I am that Tebow will get an opportunity to prove himself through the offseason program, what there is of it, in Jacksonville. He will get the shot. Now, my thoughts, you've got Inspector Gadget, Daily Double, and Canary. And we will tie all of these things together into a neat package. And we'll fill the time here in this Maller monologue. Now, A, Urban Meyer attempted to be, by his standards, bashful Urban, right? Shy Urban. Don't buy it. I don't believe it. Maybe you do. Urban Meyer is beholden to Tim Tebow. There is no Urban Meyer without Tim Tebow. Urban Meyer was a coach on the rise when he landed in Florida. He had had success at Utah and some other stops along the way. But the thing that locked in to cement that Urban Meyer was one of the great coaches of this generation of coaches was the time at Florida with Tim Tebow when you had the sinners and the saints side by side. Tim Tebow, the saint, the sinner, Aaron Hernandez, and they were Urban Meyer players. And so Myers, listen, he's throwing out all kinds of gobbledygook, right, to try to throw us off the scent. His efforts, though, to confuse us by trying to throw us off the scent, by deceiving us, not working. Because on this one, I am Benny the Bloodhound, and I am on the case. I am sniffing this out here. And Urban Meyer, he can fool you, but he can't fool me. I was schooled as a child by Inspector Gadget. So go, go, Gadget! Right? The fact that Tim Tebow was given a tryout at age 33 with no football games played as a tight end in forever and after a failed baseball career with the Metropolitans tells you all you need to know. What more needs to be said? Actions speak louder than words. Now, part B of this, Urban Meyer is attempting to distance himself from the story. He's painting with this broad brush like he's some kind of innocent bystander. Hello, he is the head coach. He is the czar of Jacksonville football. The buck stops with Urban Meyer. He would not have taken the job if it was anywhere else, anything other than that. And for him to try to position this story as it's, you know, not my decision, that is a humdinger of a tale, is what it is. Now, you would have to be a total country bumpkin to buy this. I hope that you're not. I'd like to think that you're not a rube. I try not to be. I have a theory, though, on this. All right, so let me give you my theory, and let's see if this passes your smell test. So my theory is that Urban Meyer is putting all of this publicly on the shoulders of tight end coach Tyler Bowen. Probably don't know who that is. He's a rather generic coach. He's bounced around college football. He's at Penn State. He's from Maryland. Tyler Bowen. Why is Meyer saying, well, it's really up to the tight end coach? Because he gets to hit the daily double, Urban Meyer, by doing this. On one hand, we know that Urban's already shown his hand. By giving the tryout, that is an indicator that Tim Tebow, in the eyes of Urban Meyer, is still America's sweetheart, and he's worthy of the red carpet treatment. If you are the tight end coach, you've just been hired. This is your first NFL gig as a tight end coach. You are under the tutelage of Urban Meyer. You are fully aware of the history of Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer. You're aware of that. You're also aware of the fact that Tebow was just given an opportunity at age 33, having not played football in X number of years. So do you think that you're going to tell Urban Meyer, boy, this guy blows. Let me tell you, Urban, this guy, he should be selling shoes somewhere, shouldn't be playing tight end. Or is it more likely that Tyler Bowen, the tight end coach in Jacksonville, is going to give a glowing review, not wanting to rock the boat, if you know what I'm saying? And the daily double part, you have that, and then you also have, should Tebow succeed, Urban Meyer will take credit. Talk about he always believed in Tim Tebow and had confidence in him. If Tebow somehow gets the opportunity and doesn't make the team and ends up getting hurt and goes away, if he flops, then Urban Meyer has what everyone wants in life, plausible deniability. Wasn't my decision. This guy, Tyler Bowen, made the call. It's his fault. He's the boob. Not my fault. I'm washing my hands with Tebow. I said the tight end coach made the decision. His fault, not my fault. All right, last word. So while Urban Meyer is being restrained by his standards, others in positions of power are singing like a canary. For example, someone named Tony Khan is an actor that has entered this play. Who is Tony Khan? He's the son of Jacksonville's owner, Shad Khan. And he is a member of the front office. He has been given a very nice title by his daddy, Chief Football Strategy Officer. Sounds very official. And Tony Khan is spilling the beans. He's spilling the beans. The spawn of Khan says that head coach Urban Meyer thinks Tebow can help the Jags. That's what he said. In fact, quote, obviously Urban knows Tim really well, and Tim has got a great history of winning, Tony Khan bloviated. Quote continues. Urban really believes that he, meaning Tebow, can help us. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a position where we need to get better. Close quote. Close quote. So that's the quote Urban didn't want to get out that came from the son of the owner who's got loose lips. Loose lips sink battleships. And Tim Tebow is beloved. He is seen as the humble, courteous, respectful sporting star. And he would be great when the son of the owner says that Tebow would make a lot of sense. What he's really saying is, from a business standpoint, not a football standpoint, not a football standpoint, from a business standpoint, Tim Tebow would be perfect. You have the cash cow. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Because even if Tebow makes the team as a blocking tight end that plays special teams and an occasional decoy in the passing game, it is irrelevant. Because Tim Tebow is bankable. He's the cash cow. And his merchandise will sell like hotcakes. I wouldn't be shocked if Tim Tebow sold more merchandise than the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, for Jacksonville. Number one. And that makes him a profitable investment. You're going to have some third string tight end on your roster. You can get some generic brand tight end. No one's going to buy their jersey or their t-shirt. But pro sports is big business. It's entertainment. It's also about getting attention. And Tim Tebow is all of those things. He is Mr. Publicity. Mr. Publicity. So he's got a leg up. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. That's how life works. Life is not fair. Once you cross that Rubicon, you'll find life more enjoyable. Once you just accept the fact that Tim Tebow is going to get an opportunity with an offseason contract, we think there's an 85% chance from Jacksonville as opposed to some other schmo. And if not Jacksonville, he'll find a job somewhere else is because of the business side of it. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to comment on this or anything else, we had a good spicy hot hour talking about the cheating Astros, the Yankee fans serenading Jose Altuve with F. Altuve chants raining down from the heavens over Yankee Stadium, and the Bronx is burning. It was wonderful. And the Yankees won that game. So we can circle back to that if you would like. We'll take your calls. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369 if you'd like to be part of the festivities here. And Olympic bound, is it true? We'll talk about that. We will get to it, and we will do it next.
Man, make the barbecue noise, man.
I'm going to make it. I will make it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. He's got his militia and he gives them his sporting news. Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man. Big Ben in the air everywhere for you and me. From the Dodger cap on the top of old Ben.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. A piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Later this hour, I hate talking over the vocal, but we will have Maller to the third degree. And you are locked and loaded here. for better or worse, to the Ben Maller Show, and we are talking about, at least the beginning of this hour, Tim Tebow and the comments made by Urban Meyer. I think there's a minus 550 chance, 85%, that Tebow gets at least an off-season contract. I'm not saying he's going to be on the team, but he's going to have the opportunity to prove himself and make the roster. Let's go to the phones. Wayne in Mizzou. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, good morning, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, Coop. Hey, I just want to call in and touch base with you for a couple of minutes here. Your opening monologue in the first hour, that was great, man.
Well, thank you, Wayne. Did we go downhill an hour or two?
I'm sorry?
Did we go downhill an hour or two with the Tebow monologue?
Oh man. You know, I was just going to say, every militia man, woman, caller calling into the show should begin their call with FL2BE. FL2BE. We'll make that a regulation, perhaps. But
Well, we'll see if people listen to you, Wayne. We'll see how much power you wield from the Iron Throne.
I don't wield a whole lot of power. I'm just a regular, long-time listener and try to be a frequent caller. One other thing, I served 22 years in the Marine Corps, and one of the things I learned was Navy semaphore. You know, the flashing of the flags and the lights.
Yeah.
And in Navy semaphore, and this goes out to all the New York Yankee fans, in Navy semaphore, the letters BZ, Bravo Zulu, means well done. So all you Yankee fans last night, Bravo Zulu.
I'm going to steal that, Wayne. Can I steal that, Wayne?
You got it.
Say it one more time, Wayne. What? Bravo what?
The letters BZ, Bravo Zulu, means in Navy semaphore, well done.
All right. I'm now stealing that, Wayne. I will never give you credit, but I am giving you credit right now. Okay?
Thanks, Wayne.
All right.
I mean, what time of the morning is it?
Oh, I understand, Wayne. I thank myself all the time. All right, thank you, buddy. We love Wayne's one of my favorites. Wayne's been calling us for many, many years, and I like that. BZ, Bravo Zulu, right? Did I say it right?
Yeah.
I think so. All right, just go with it. Bravo Zulu. Oh, wonderful. Let's go now to a woman who originally from New York. She's a Mets fan, though, not a Yankee fan. But she's jumped on the A's bandwagon, hanging out at her compound somewhere in the underground of Berkeley. Andrea.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Virgo in service. She has her star charts out right now to microanalyze. I got a nice email from you, Andrea. I want to thank you. For that?
You got your forecast report?
I did, yes. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Yes, my pleasure.
I think I should have written back, but I'm thanking you right now, which is a much more public way of thanking you, Andrea.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes. Appreciate that. So you want to address the Yankee fans and the Yankees and the booing of the Astros. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, I really think, obviously, I am a born and bred Met fan, but being from New York, I think that, it was pretty epic for the Yankees fans to boo the Astros the way they did. So I think, you know, they were yelling what you thought they would yell at Altuve. And, I thought that, you know, you do the crime,
well,
you do
hold
the
on a sec. Andrea, for those of you just tuning in now to the Ben Maller Show, what exactly were the fans at Yankee Stadium chanting towards Jose Altuve? I forget, Roberto. Can you remind me, refresh my memory here, what they were chanting?
Altuve!
F. Altuve!
Yeah, that's about the size of it. And like I said, you do the crime, you do the time. That's the karma. So I thought that they kind of brought it on themselves. And, you know, I thought that it was very appropriate in the Bronx to be doing that for the Astros. And
well, it was wonderful. It was, as we said, chicken soup for the soul. It was deserved. It was a long time coming. And it's just the beginning. It is just the beginning as the redemption continues here, as the Astros still have a date at Dodger Stadium, among other places they have not visited yet. But yeah, Yankee Stadium was one of the big ones, and the Yankee fan did not disappoint.
Right.
They did not. It's a great night for Yankee fans. They've not had many great nights, but this was a great night for Yankee fans.
Yeah, they even brought out the trash cans. Yeah, they no holes barred. They went for it.
And the security, it was funny. I was watching the Yes Network feed, and the security was desperately trying to steal the contraband, you know, the blow-up trash cans. How many people? There were only 10,000 people. It seemed like there were like at least 4,000 people went on Amazon, bought a blow-up trash can, and snuck it into Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it said, I think on Yahoo Sports, the first casualty of the Yankees-Astros game, an inflatable trash can confiscated by security. They were all over the stadium.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, it was a very communal thing, Andrea. It looked like I wasn't there, but it appeared from my perspective that it really brought everyone together.
Yeah.
Men, women, and children, Republicans, Democrats, with one common goal: to demonstrate their vitriol for the Astros. Who knew that this would bring the country together, Andrea?
I mean, that's the beauty of sports, Ben. It's really magical in that way. It's such a great unifier. And booing Altuve, that was a long time in the making. We were just, you know, Yankees fans were, the booing reached its peak with Altuve.
Well, it was outstanding, and we will celebrate it all night long. It was rarefied air.
Yes.
And as my friend Wayne in Mizzou said, BZ, Bravo Zulu.
Yes.
Yes.
Well
I
done.
I think that's how he said it. Yes. All right. Well, very good, Andrea. Thank you. Appreciate that. Virgo in service on Twitter. Very kind to the Maller militia, giving us star charts and all the insider information. All right, so Olympic-bound an NFL player has a shot of being in the Olympics and will actually try out for that. Obviously, you have to qualify. We are talking about a wide receiver. But which wide receiver? I'll tell you. From your Seattle Seahawks. Holy J.J. in Renton, Batman. D.K. Metcalf is going to go against the best of the best that America has to offer in track and field in the 100-meter dash, the Seattle Seahawk wide receiver, part human, part cyborg, who is a elite athlete, certainly by football standards. He runs like a gazelle. He's as strong as an ox. 6'4", 229 pounds of muscle. And he is going to attempt to qualify for the Olympics. How about that? It's coming up this Sunday in Southern California. The Seahawks wide receiver is set to put his ability out there on the track. Metcalf entered into the 100 meters at something called the USATF Golden Games and Distance Open. This is at Mount Sac out in the San Gabriel Valley. And depending on how he does, it's according to the USA Track and Field, and obviously if he does well there, Metcalf, if he succeeds, in order to qualify for the Olympics, he would need to break 10.2 seconds, while 10.05 automatically would qualify him. In 2016, I think he got a 10.16, so he was close. But he needs to break that in order to qualify for the Olympics. Would he have to miss time for the Seahawks? I don't know. When is that? The Olympics are all messed up because of the COVID thing. So I don't even know the calendar on that. When's that all going to take place? But we'll keep an eye on DJ Metcalf. Could be an Olympic hero. Normally, it's the track and field guys that then join the NFL. I don't think it usually works this way, where you're in the NFL and then cross over into track and field. Normally, it works the other way.
The Olympics will be starting in July, late July, and end in early August.
So he would have to miss training camp, Eddie. Holy crap. He would have to miss the preseason activity for the Seattle Seahawks. And what if he pulls a hamstring running? We can play the what-if game.
Oh, I love the what-if game.
I like the what-if game. I like the yeah-but game. Yeah-but, 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 yeah-but. Sounds like rabbit, right? Yeah-but, yeah-but, yeah-but. That's my tribute to a former NFL coach. You remember which coach?
Yeah, Mike Martz.
That's right. Mike Martz, coach of the St. Louis Rams. Yabbit, 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 yabbit. He got so upset with the media, he kept asking him follow-up questions. Yabbit, 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 yabbit.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, of course, the big story in sports, and probably will be for a while, is the ongoing saga between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and Eddie, we'd like to alert all the affiliates down the line. We will have the obligatory Aaron Rodgers Maller monologue up later on in the overnight.
Well, we count down to that. That will be wonderful.
That is
now,
correct.
There is another starting quarterback in the NFL who saw his replacement drafted at the NFL draft, and that would be Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Garoppolo speaking for the first time since the draft about his situation in San Francisco in light of what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. And he talked about having the future drafted and him having to kind of deal with it. He said, quote, "Nothing is going to be handed to me. Nothing's going to be handed to anyone in this league. You've got to go in there and work," end quote. He did say that the communication between him and the 49ers organization has been solid, particularly with GM John Lynch, who he noted has been genuine throughout the process. So
did he also thank his Lord and Savior that he survived till Sunday? Because there was some question by Kyle Shanahan, whether or not he would make it.
Well, you can't guarantee that anyone is going to be here. From
amazingly, Garoppolo survived. He's still alive. He was still alive when Sunday came and went.
Yeah, that is correct. That is absolutely correct.
When the salvation of Jimmy Garoppolo.
And everyone else.
Yes, exactly. All right, thank you for that, Eddie. Although I'm sure there's people that died, but for those that didn't die, that would be an accurate.
Most everyone else.
Most everyone. Big Rig Rob from the highways and byways of the Evergreen State says that guy Tony Khan, who we referenced in the Maller monologue to lead this hour, is a failed wrestling promoter who had to run back to daddy to get another job. I love the made-up title, by the way. It reminds me of the Lakers title, Fake. The Jags are doomed. So he says, and Eric writes in, says, I thought it was Penny behind Inspector Gadget, but it was Benny. Mind blown. Well, Eric, first of all, it's the things you learn listening in the overnight that matter most. It's the things you learn listening here in the middle of the night. Just like that. Amazing, fun facts. Justin says, which media member will be the first to bring Colin Kaepernick into the saga if Tim Tebow signs? Well, I'm sure they've already happened. That's already happened. I guarantee it. The usual race baiters in the media will bring that up 100%. What about Kaepernick? What about Kaepernick? It's not fair. Yeah. Well, listen, if Tebow had worn pig socks, I guess he probably wouldn't be getting an opportunity. Anyway, all right, let's get to it right now. Here we go!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Mind-blowing. For ratings purposes, we have time-shifted Maller to the third degree.
To an earlier portion.
Of the radio program, we go over to Koopa Loop, loosey-goosey, rested and relaxed.
Wow.
Ben, nobody was expecting the San Francisco Giants to be any good this season, and yet here they are at first place in the NL West and among the best records in all of baseball. Do you think
they don't have to celebrate their? You don't have to.
I'm not celebrating. I'm just asking a question.
It sounded like you were giving a glowing review.
I
feel a fail coming on.
I don't know.
You better not. I gave him some more time here. Yeah.
I think it's a fair question. I don't know where you're gathering any sort of bias. Do you think they will compete all year long, or is this an early season fluke?
Well, it's been 20 games, and I learned from the great Tommy Lasorda and Sparky Anderson that you've got to wait 60 games. Right, you got to wait 60 games because, you know, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and then it's what you do with the other 40 games that matter. There's a couple different versions of that. Some of them say you win 50, lose 50, it's what you do with the other 62. But either way, it's only been 20 games. The indicators are pretty encouraging for the Giants. Coming into the doubleheader against the Rockies, they had the second best starting pitching in the big leagues behind the Dodgers. That is the foundation. But that foundation is built behind guys like Alex Wood, Aaron Sanchez, Anthony DeSclafani, I believe is how you say his name. These guys are rejects.
Who?
Right? They've all pitched pretty well to start the year.
Never heard of them.
The offense for the Giants was supposed to be horrible. It's been as good as the advanced billing. So you've got that. And then part B, the reason I would, dare I say, go out on a limb and say the Giants can hang around is because the quality of competition in the National League, outside the Dodgers, who currently suck rocks, and the Padres, the Giants should be able to do very well against the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and they play them for almost 40 games. And then you look around the National League, got bad teams like the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs, teams like that, anybody in the National League East. And so you can get some wins against those teams in non-divisional play. And as long as the Giants just tread water against the Dodgers and Padres, then they can hang around. They're not winning a championship, but they can certainly hang around and be an annoyance and a nuisance for the Dodgers and the Padres. Next!
So after the 49ers traded up to number 3 in the draft to get a quarterback, pretty much everyone's expectation was that Jimmy G would end up back in New England. Well, now Kyle Shanahan's telling reporters that Jimmy G is the starter right now over Trey Lance. Ben, do you think that there's any way the 49ers let this be a season of grooming Trey Lance behind Jimmy G?
No, listen, I will believe it when it happens. The smart money still says the 49ers go out and make a side move here for some other quarterback and end up releasing Jimmy Garoppolo. Until Garoppolo starts game one, I am in the doubtful category. He's got zero guaranteed money on his contract. If the 49ers keep him, they'll be paying him $25 million, which is not a ton of money by NFL quarterback standards. It would change my life forever. But for Garoppolo and the 49ers, they can figure out the landscape there. But it seems like a pretty big price to pay when you just put Trey Lance out there. I have long been an advocate of play the rookie quarterback, get the growing pains out of the way. I say it with all of these young quarterbacks. Trey Lance is no different. And the second thing, Garoppolo should be headed to Duck Dynasty territory, because even if he's on the team, Garoppolo is the biggest lame duck among all the quarterbacks in the NFL. I guess outside Cam Newton, right? They can have dinner together. The writing is on the wall. 2021, if he's on the team, which I'm still doubtful about, it's essentially an open audition to try to impress other teams like, say, Carolina Chicago, if their young quarterback stinks, that he can get an opportunity somewhere else. All right, next, this is a very Bay Area heavy Maller to the third degree. Are we going to talk about the Warriors next? No?
Well, no, not exactly.
All right, Sharks? No?
No. Blake Snell.
Ooh!
Yes.
Bro, I'm risking my life!
Yes, well, he took to social media recently to express his outrage over his rating in MLB The Show 21. That's a video game.
I'm aware it's a video game, Coop. I'm not that old. How dare you? Bro, I played it yesterday.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. Well,
another Mallard lie.
That was an exaggeration, Eddie. It's not a lie. There's a difference.
I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Snell has an 82 overall ranking in the game. Ben, how far off are the video game makers?
Well, I want to begin this by thanking you, Koopaloop, because I would not know that Blake Snell did this on social media because that Mama Luke blocked me. Right? He could not handle the heat. He could not handle the heat from yours truly. So I haven't seen his witty post. I guess he didn't like when we were calling him out last year, calling him all the names we called him when that during the beginning of the COVID shutdown when he didn't want to play. But this sounds like a textbook crybaby athlete to me. Boo-hoo-hoo. The video game makers came up with some totally arbitrary number, and they pulled it out of thin air, and now I'm going to have a hissy fit, which is on brand for Blake Snell, all right? Now, the other point, Blake Snell is your typical modern starting pitcher. He struggles to make it past five innings. How can you be considered an all-time great when you can't go more than four and a third or whatever it is? He walks way too many batters, and more importantly, the guy's a Mr. Softy. Bro, I'm risking my life. They should have gone lower than 82. He's lucky he got it. He's overrated at 82, Blake Snell. There it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Well, I'm torn because you gave it a lot of time, which I enjoy.
Yes.
But you also butchered the clock. But I'll give you a pass.
There it is. That's a win. No, you played the fail. I won. I won. We'll make it up on the other side, Coop. Don't worry. We'll make it up on the other side. All right, so Russell Westbrook now has five triple-doubles with 20-plus assists, which is the most in NBA history. Magic Johnson and Blank each had four of those games. So Russell Westbrook of the Wizards now has five triple-doubles with 20-plus assists. It's pretty good. Stat stuffing, Russell Westbrook, the most in NBA history. Magic Johnson and Blank each recorded four of those 20-plus assist triple-doubles. Fill in the blank. The Insta Trivia, the answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. Some call him the call screener. He is the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network, and he is manning the phones. It is Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Otani!
And live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here's your Insta trivia. Russell Westbrook now has five triple-doubles with 20-plus assists. That's the most in NBA history. Magic Johnson and Blank each recorded four of those games. That is the question. What is the answer? The answer's coming in. We have Flint Tropics legend Jackie Moon, guessed by Rob in Vegas. Who else do we have? Oscar Robertson from Rod, the ambassador of Bakersfield. Lucille from Mr. Nice Guy. Manute Bowl tossed out by Christopher, the custodian. Thomas in the 513 says, Allen Iverson. We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says Mark Price. Good blast from the past. Who else do we have? Magic Christian, guessed by Alf the Alien Opiner. Moneyball Maller from your sports source.
Who?
As the answer. Who else do we have? Indomicon Sue from Justin in Cincinnati. The Big O, guessed by Arik, who's back listening to the show in Minnesota. And Wilt Chamberlain from the Maller Prop Guy. Do you have an answer, Eddie?
Sure. I'll go with John Starks.
John Starks. Is it John Starks? No. John Starks had the single worst playoff performance I've ever seen. But it is not John Starks. The correct answer from the people's team, the Clippers, Rajon Rondo. Playoff Rondo. Going to win a championship again. Him and Cousins back to back. Both LA teams.